morning. Welcome here today on this finally fall morning. I know that we've all enjoyed this weekend's weather. If we can begin our service by turning to hymn 21, singing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. So much for these voices lifting up this song to you this morning, Lord. Thank you for the wonder around us and your glory and the amount of love and confidence that we get from being in your light and your warmth. Lord, please bless each and every person here today. Open our hearts and minds to your leading and your calling today and this week. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to take a moment to look at the bulletin and mention any announcements. Anybody have any to add? Heard there was a special wedding anniversary this week. Donald and Eloise, right? Yeah. How many years, Donald? You already celebrated.
I wanted to kind of pay homage to David Coltrane this morning.
Okay.
Graduate of NC State, he wore the Carolina blue tie. And we've been married 66 years. We went together 5 years before she told me to do something to get off the pot.
Good one. woman. That's right. That's good. Well, congratulations. Are there any others to add? Any announcements?
If we could have a short meeting of Quaker Men right at the Rise of Worship, and anyone else interested in helping out next Saturday at Quaker Lake. They're in dire need of some assistance down there for their October festival, and any help would be appreciated. So again, Quaker Men could meet down front for just a few moments.
And I need to meet with anyone who wants to help with singing row this week about that also.
Alrighty, if that's all, we'll have the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and offerings.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your protection. We thank you that you give us the ability to reach out to others. We know in times of crisis that it is the church's responsibility to help those in need, and as part of that, requires so many resources. Lord, we ask that you bless the givings that are given here this morning, the monies that are received, those gifts that are received, so that we can continue to go out and bless those who are in need. It is our responsibility and our charge to spread the message of the gospel. And we thank you for those who give, and we also thank you for those who receive. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
the first time I've ever done this in public. Children talk to angels, at least that's what they say. Children talk to angels almost every day. So be careful when you scold them for things they'd like to do. For children talk to angels like they talk to me and you. I saw two little children that wandered off one day. I decided I would follow them to watch them in their play. They crossed a rocky boardwalk beside the waterfall, and then I saw the angel standing straight and tall. So listen, all you grown-ups who think you're big and strong, you might become as a little child in heaven to belong. So if you pray to Jesus like little children do, then you will understand him, he will thank you. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
You couldn't see it, but Lathan must have got a look from his mama, and then he saluted her when he went. I'm sorry, that was the highlight of the day right there. He knows. He's learned at an early age just to salute and do what you're told. We're going to enter into our time of prayer requests and praises. Of course, we definitely want to thank God for the protection from Hurricane Michael. We know that there is a lot of damage, a lot of damage to houses and structures and physical stuff. But we also know that it's not the physical stuff that defines us. It's our spiritual stuff. And I'm just thankful that while there was a lot of damage in the area and power is still out for a lot of folks, even here this morning, you're here. You're breathing, you're alive, and you can thank God. So we need to remember the linemen that are out working. I saw some this morning and stopped and talked with them. The emergency workers that are out cutting trees and rescuing folks out of houses that were doing that last week. And also just remember all those that are doing the tree cutting and the power and the water and even the cable guys. They're out working trying to get the television and the internet to work. Are there any others?
Well, along that same line, Tommy, Wednesday night when we were at choir practice, we had no idea the song we were practicing to sing today would be so appropriate. We are so blessed.
Absolutely. Any others?
Thank you.
That's awesome. She's a strong woman. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, first and foremost, we thank you. We have so much gratitude for all the many blessings that you've given us, spiritually, physically. We know you continue to place your hand upon us and protect us because you love us. We know it is up to us to bring those needs to you, that you want to hear from us, whether it be through children or through our quiet prayers. Lord, we thank you for the ability of the personnel that are out working to fix the storm damage, the energy folks, the cable guys, the firefighters, police officers, paramedics, tow truck drivers, anyone involved in any type of emergency work this weekend, Lord, as they're dealing with dangerous situations, lines that are down, potential power outages and surges, structural issues. We thank you for them. We thank you for their bravery and their courage and their ability to want to go out and help. I ask that you place your hand of protection on them and around them through the next week and 2 weeks as they continue to work all over the country. But we thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for Betty Smith, a very tough woman, Lord. She is tough and she is strong in your faith. She knows you and she loves you, and she recognizes that that even though she can't get around as good as she wants to, she tries her best with your will and your power. We thank you for her healing and her recovery, that she is able to come out of the hospital and out of rehab and go back home to where she wants to be. Help her receive help, Lord. She knows she can't do it all by herself. I thank you for the folks that are here this morning, visitors and longtime friends that walk through the door. It's a wonderful sight to see so many wonderful faces, Lord. If there be any unspoken requests, you know the needs, you know the broken hearts, you know the lost. Touch them and heal them. Give them confidence and faith. And know that you love them. We ask all these many blessings and requests in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
We are so blessed. I don't know anything else needs to be said. I've said this a couple weeks in the past about how God works with writing sermons and reading and studying and the things that's required to write a sermon. And I don't speak to anybody about my sermon usually. And this morning in Sunday school, we talked about prayer. And kind of getting what you want versus what you need and that sort of thing. That there was a speaker there we were listening to. And then the children's moment where it talks about children talking to angels and talking to God. Prayer. And I think Hazel or Sophie said, God knows what you're thinking. And so blessed. This morning, my sermon is on prayer. And it just gives me cold chills to think about because everything is just fitting together. So I've told this story before, and you may have heard it, and please, if you have, just indulge me a little bit. It's about a Christmas dinner, and it's a Christmas Eve setting. And there's a family gathered around a table. And, you know, most folks at Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, they gather with their families, and they're got a large spread, and the plates, people are ready to go, and they're drooling, and they're ready to dig in, and they're just waiting for the blessing. Ham and turkey and green beans and mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese. Sounds like a normal Sunday lunch at Kay's house. But all this food, and everybody's ready to go. They got their plates, the kids especially, who've been picking at little things the whole time. And maybe the cook has been picking at some stuff when no one's looking. And they're waiting for the blessing. The older one of the group, the grandfather, potentially, begins to say the blessing. But as he starts to thank God for the meal, he starts to stutter. And he's stuttering in a way that he can only make out a couple of words. And he finally spits out, "Dear God, thank." And it's in a stutter. But he gets aggravated and he doesn't finish the blessing. So someone else jumps in because they're hungry. And we need to get on, you know, I'm hungry, let's go. Say amen. As soon as you say amen, it's like the green light on the drag strip. And finally someone finishes the prayer and they say amen and you just get your hands out of the way. As time went on, more and more Christmas Eve dinners were held. Age crept in, everyone's getting older. And each year, he would try to say the blessing and stutter the first word, get mad, and quit. And every year, another family member would finish it. Time continued on, and dinner guests became fewer and fewer as some passed away. So now you got a child at this table who's absolutely terrified to pray. They know that as time is going to count down, it's going to be that person's turn. And they are terrified. Christmas dinner rolls around. Dread would sink in. Oh, this child, I don't want to pray. He's thinking, I don't want to pray, I don't want to pray. I don't want to pray, I don't want to pray, I don't want to pray. When the child was asked, he would say no. No, 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 I don't want to, no, I don't want to, no. And finally, it was just, let's just get on with it so we can eat. This child didn't want to pray. He's heard prayer his whole life. What's the big deal? Did God hear the old man's stutter? Did it count because someone else finished it? Or do you have to be the one that says, "Dear God," and amen, and kind of finish it up? Are you afraid to pray? Why are you afraid to pray? Do you think God hears your prayers, even if you don't say them out loud? What is a correct prayer? What am I supposed to say? Is there a right prayer at right times? Can I pray for something that may not be at the right moment? Maybe I threw a prayer request into the tithes and offerings. Our scripture this morning is from 1 John, chapter 5, verse 14. And there's another scripture that we'll be going to later on, but it's 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Now, based on some research of 1 John, it would appear that this was written by the Apostle John. There's some folks that kind of debate that. But it was likely composed in the city of Ephesus, which is where the Ephesians are. And based on some language early in the letter of 1 John, it's also likely written to Gentiles and not Jews. He wrote this letter to the people of a local church that had departed fellowship from their doctrine. And it departed from ethics and devotion, departed from a combination of these things. It kind of just kind of stepped away. And John attempted to bring stabilization back to the church by writing this letter and saying, you know, here's some instruction. And John's goal was to promote the personal relationship with Christ. His epistle directed true faith and proactive ethics and just an undying love for God. But in this passage this morning, John is telling the Gentiles that he's writing in the name of Jesus. And there's a confidence in that name. There's a confidence in Christ. So we can approach God anytime, anything. But if it's in God's will, He hears us. God's will is to hear us. God hears. Some statistics I found on praying, which are pretty interesting. According to a poll research, more than 55% of Americans pray every day. That's not high enough, in my opinion. Just a little over half pray every day. Women, you beat us out for praying daily. Guys, we're going to step up to the plate. Women pray more than men daily. There are 650 prayers in the Bible. The first time a prayer is mentioned is in Genesis 4:26, when it specifically says, "Men began calling on the name of the Lord." It's the first documented prayer in the Bible. The word amen means "so be it." And it was first mentioned in Numbers 5 when God commanded it to be said by a person yielding to God's review. If you're yielding to God examination, He told them in Numbers to finish it with amen. So be it. If it's your will, amen. So be it. Prayer is our way to communicate with God. Being in a prayerful position in our lives, that's that direct communication. It's not a request we're sending to a priest, and that's what the wonderful thing about Quakerism. We don't need an intermediary. And a wonderful thing about Christianity, we don't need a guy in a funny hat or somebody with a collar on to forward our prayers on to God. Our prayers don't go into a mailbox awaiting delivery. You know, you sit in Outlook waiting for that connection. It isn't some magical words we say like hocus pocus to get a desired result. It's a heartfelt conversation with our Lord. And it's usually requesting, and it should be requesting, His will on our lives. That's a hard thing to say. Lord, so be it. What do you want for us? Now, the main scripture here in 1 John, that's the real heart of the sermon. But when talking about prayer, I can't help but look at Matthew 6. And many may know that this is where Jesus talks about the method in which those people were to pray and how we're to pray. And it describes the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not going to go over the Lord's Prayer today, but I want to look at some of the passages in Matthew. And it's Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8. Matthew 6, verses 7 and 8. And Jesus said, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Just like they said down here, you don't have to say it. God already knows what you're thinking. And that's an important passage because it tells us that we don't have to do a whole lot. We don't have to do a whole lot to talk to God. There's a couple rules that, when I was going through some commentaries, these rules really kind of stood out based off this passage. And the first rule is, we don't have to use empty repetition. Very Quakerly. Sometimes we get caught up in the act of saying the same things over and over and over, because that's maybe what we think God wants to hear. And that's fine if you want to say the same prayer over, but your heart has to say it, not just your mouth. Sometimes we may just say, our Father who art in heaven, we just say it because the leader is saying it, the worship leader, or because a church has done it, and that's what they say in their liturgy or their reading response in different worship services. It's the heart that matters. Many churches all over the world recite that prayer. But at doing that begs the question of sincerity. Are you saying it because that's what the program called for, or are you saying it because it's what's really on your heart and what really kind of speaks to your condition? Religious words can cause empty repetition. You come in and use a lot of words, a lot of what we think biblical words are. You don't have to. You just say it. Rituals and formal prayer can take one to empty prayer. It's where we pray with a genuine heart, with thought and concentration, and with a desire to have that real communication. I can send somebody a text message all day long, and they'll never hear the emotion behind it unless I type in all caps or send a little picture or a smiley face or a thumbs up or whatever. But the real heartfelt communication, that's where it's at. Second rule. It's what I like. You don't have to be long-winded. And I hope I'm never too long-winded. God doesn't hear a person's prayer because it's long. You say what your heart needs to say. And if it ends up being long, okay. But having to fill 3-minute prayer time frame, or I have to make sure that I say everything that happened this week, or God doesn't hear it. No. God hears it. Thank you for everything you've given me this week, Lord. Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. Lord, I am lost and my GPS does not work. It's telling me to turn here. Where do I go? You don't have to spout off any Greek or Hebrew. You don't have to say a lot. But what you do say has to have that sustenance, that meat of what really is in your soul and what you're really needing and what you're really wanting to say to God. Rule number 3, the last one, real simple. Trust God. That's a hard one. You got to trust God. And that doesn't necessarily, I'm not saying that you have to acknowledge everything. I'm saying your life has to trust God. I'm not saying that you have to say over and over, God, I trust you, God, I trust you, God, I trust you, in hopes that your mind will accept the fact that you're now saying, God, I trust you, because that's a hard thing to say, especially in times of crisis, when trees fall on your house, or when someone's in the hospital. God, I trust you. It's a hard thing to say. But prayer demonstrates our need for God and our dependence upon Him. We can't do it all by ourselves. He wants us to acknowledge that we believe in His power in our lives. He created us. He gave us that ability through Jesus to talk to Him, to truly pray, is to truly trust Him. But what happens when you don't know what to say? That happens a lot. You stand up here in front of a crowd and all of a sudden everyone's looking at you and your mind goes completely blank. It happens. And you say, And everyone's expecting you to have this elegant, beautiful prayer and lots of thank you, Lords, and grace, and peace, and love, and joy, and hugs and kisses. And it's, Or you're brokenhearted. You're in the middle of a situation and you don't know what to say. What do you say? There's a song that I found, I was listening to, and it absolutely just brings tears to my eyes every time I hear it. I'm not going to sing it. I would never do that to y'all because then you would be praying for me to stop. But I am going to read the lyrics because it covers just what you're supposed to say. Life gets tough and times get hard. It's hard to find the truth in all the lies. If you're tired of wondering why your heart's not healing and nothing feels like home, because you're lost and alone, just screaming at the sky when you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. There is power in the name. If the words won't come because you're too afraid to pray, just say Jesus. Whisper it now or shout it out. However it comes out, He hears your cry. Out of nowhere, He will come. You've got to believe it. He will rescue you. Just call out to the way, the truth, and the life. When you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. The name of Jesus. If the words won't come because you're too afraid to pray, there is just one name strong enough to save. When you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. If the words won't come because you're too afraid to pray, if the words won't come because you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. What a better way. I can't come up with another way to even explain it. When you have no words, when you have no idea, and you're so lost, and your mind is so racing with life, you don't have to have all the words. You can just say Jesus. Let's go back to the Christmas dinner table. You think God heard my grandfather stutter and only get out a couple of words? I think He did. He suffered a stroke and permanent brain damage, but amazingly, He prayed at the Christmas dinner table. The child who absolutely hated to pray would rather have given his left arm than to have to pray is actually standing up preaching about prayer. Amazing how things work out. Now I absolutely love to pray. I'll pray for anybody, anytime, anywhere. I absolutely love it. No one person touched my grandfather and made him pray. No one person forced me to stand up here and preach. It was through the power of prayer that we both had that entering of our lives by Christ, that Holy Spirit working on us, where we became baptized in the Spirit and we trusted God and we began that communication and we allowed whatever happens to happen, so be it. It is my prayer today that if you do not have that open communication with God, let's start today. Before we sit down for open worship, I'm going to close in prayer. But if you feel the urging to begin that new life in Christ, that renewal in Christ, you need to say, I've got too much stuff and I'm trying to figure out how to pray. This may be that moment. You don't have to tell anyone. This is your time. This is your communication. This is your email. This is your text message. This is your phone call. This is your moment. If you need to pray and don't know how, scared to, can't figure it out, I'm going to be right here. You want to pray with me? I'll meet you where you are. I'll hold your hand right here. I'll put my arm around you, and I will pray for you so you don't have to say a word. If you want to pray to God, this is your time. Maybe you want to thank Him. During the quiet time, this is when we get to hear that still small voice giving us that guidance in life. Stand and pray. Sit and pray. Say it out loud. Whisper it quietly. This is your time. This is your conversation. It's no specific chant. There's no foreign language. You can just say Jesus. Just say what's on your heart, acknowledging God's power, and leave your needs and your troubles at the feet of the one who died for you so you can pray. Do you think God hears us? Absolutely.
Thank you, Tommy. Aren't we glad that we have a God that hears us no matter what we say? Let's close our service by standing and singing hymn 598, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, verses 1 and 3.
Talk to you in the silence. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.